Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. We've got corners to talk about today. 2018 NFL Draft prospect corners. I think both underclassmen we're talking about today.
Both the same last name.
Yes, yes. Jair Alexander and Adonis Alexander. Louisville and Virginia Tech corners. But first, man, I got to get this Le'Veon Bell thing. Oh, my gosh.
Like, yeah, let's talk about it.
Tom Pelissero says that Steelers offered a Le'Veon Bell averaged, and I think Rappaport's confirmed that he's right. Steelers offered a Le'Veon Bell averaged over $12 million per year with $30 million in the first 2 years, $42 million over the first 3 years per sources. He decided to play on the $12.1 million tag.
So he's playing the guaranteed money was?
It was... I'm not sure if there was it was released or not.
Let me look that up, but keep going. Because he's playing on tech.
I know that Rapport said it was over 5 years. So you turn out a $5 million contract averaging $12 million per year that would pay you like $14 million in the first 3 years per year. And you decide to play on the tag like for a year for $100,000 more. I don't understand, man. Like, doesn't make any sense to me. Like, he likes the team, he likes the situation, you know. He's not finished one full season. How is he gonna get better deal than that? Like, the next closest running back in the league is McCoy, and he's making just under $9 million, I think. I mean, this would totally reset the market. I mean, he's the highest paid guy this year anyway, but he could be the highest paid guy in the league, like on a regular contract. I just don't get it. I don't understand. Like, I don't know what. And there's always it. Maybe there's some language in it, or I don't. But I mean that's a ridiculously fair deal.
It's gotta be. I'm trying to look to see if what the guaranteed money would be if that was known, because
I don't think anyone's reported if they knew the guaranteed money.
So one issue with the deal per Rappaport was the amount of guaranteed money, and that's the thing. Like, if you. Because running back, you would think, and I'm sure it was a good contract for the Steelers because of how they worded it, but I'm sure Le'Veon Bell, he probably was going to be the highest paid running back in the NFL with this contract. Right. But in terms of guaranteed money, I think that it was probably below the top five of running backs, and he was probably like, no, I'm not doing that. But, I mean, like, if he gets hurt this year – he's like, it's a huge risk because I mean, running backs just get beat up all the time. So if he gets hurt this year and he's playing on the tag, what does he do next year? Doesn't he already have an injury on him?
Yeah, he has several injuries on him. He's never, you know, last year he got hurt in the Patriots game and didn't finish that game in the playoffs. Hurt against the Bengals twice 2 years ago, or maybe it was three. I can't even remember now. Mm-hmm. And near the end of the regular season, and then in the playoff, and then early in the season the next year, I think it was. The perfect hit out of bounds. Oh, he was going.
Oh,
out of bounds. I think that he's betting on himself, but it doesn't make any sense. Like, no one's doubting your talent. There's things outside of your control here. You know what I mean? Like, and you're right. The Steelers don't do those guarantees in the future years, so there's going to be some element of some risk element. But again, like what's guaranteed after the season? You get hurt again. I mean, you get hurt again. Period. And your stock is way down, man. Like, that's super risky for a guy that's had some injuries already. Like,
I think – you know what I think is really messing with the value of running backs is the way that rookie draft contracts are set up.
Yeah. Because McCoy – or Fournette's, like, already making the fourth most money this year for a running back.
Fournette has the best running back contract in the NFL. He gets $27 million total in his – I think 4-year contract, right, with a 5th-year option. That's what it is for first rounders. All of it's guaranteed, 100%. Because that's what the collective bargaining agreement came to agreement upon with the draft picks. You know who has the second best contract in the NFL, or running back contract? Ezekiel Elliott from last year. Right. It's not even close. Leonard Fournette has almost $9 million more guaranteed money than LeSean McCoy, who is the, I mean, realistically that like top tier guy. Right. So. What I'm thinking is that Le'Veon Bell was like, you pay me $30 million guaranteed. And they went, no, we're not going to do that.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing.
You play running back, so yeah. We're not going to do
and
that.
And how many teams will with a guy who's had several serious injuries? You know, it just at that
know.
Position with the amount of touches that he demands. I mean, he's also the best receiving back in the league. And maybe, I mean, he's one of the best all around talented. He's going to get touches no matter where he goes. Knowing that he'll get those touches and take those shots.
And it's only going to get worse next year, right? Because if Saquon and Darius Geis get drafted both in the top 10, let's say that they do, both of those guys immediately have a better contract than LeSean McCoy as well.
Yeah.
So then four rookie contracts have the best four contracts in the NFL. So
and it's a young man's position, and Bell's still young, but I don't know.
He is, but you can't – at 30 mil, yeah. I bet the number that Bell's camp said was – right around $30 million.
Yeah.
And that's me not hearing anything. People on the inside with the Steelers might know a lot more than I do, whatever. I'm just taking a guess. But I bet he looked at those rookie running contracts and said, basically, neither of those dudes deserved their NFL contract when they signed it. I fully deserved my deal. You give me more than them. And the Steelers said, no.
Yeah, even if you have a great season, and you do everything right and – all those things, you know, you don't get hurt and all those things happen. I just can't see a path to ensuring you're going to get that 30 mil guaranteed. Now, there's always some team, you know, there is that chance, but I don't even think it's a guaranteed thing if you have a great season, especially with the class coming out.
Right.
You know, so we'll see. He's taking that risk. But anyway, we got corners to talk about.
I knew you had to get that off your chest.
I did.
I wanted to give you the safe space.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I really like Jaire Alexander, man. He's fun. But I got to say something negative to get out of the way first. There's a lot of things I like about his game. The Clemson game is probably what we'll hear everybody talk about, unless he has another game like that this year. But he played. You know, he had some big plays in the Clemson game, and he did. He made some really nice plays. I think he had. What, he had two picks, and he stripped the ball from Jordan Leggett as he was getting down to the 5-yard line or somewhere around there. So, forced three turnovers, made three turnovers happen. It was a big, big, big reason why that game was as close as it was. And Louisville had that shot at the end. Was a big part of that was Alexander. But the first interception, the Mike Williams play, he got beat inside on a post, and the ball was thrown to Mike Williams' back hip. And Alexander has really – he likes to play from behind – because he likes to bait you into those throws and then try and make up the ground. He's a risky. He plays it. That's how he plays it. He broke on the ball, had nice closing speed. There's good athletic traits there. It's a touchdown if it's a better throw still. He gives up too much separation there. Later in the game, Artavis Scott beats him vertically down the sideline, and the ball is way underthrown. He kind of turns. He does do a good job getting his head around, turns, and finds it, knocks it down, or it hits off like his back shoulder or something like that, and Scott wanted a flag. I thought it was a good no call, but Scott had him by like 3 or 4 yards, and he's not the fastest dude. And this, again, not because Alexander's slow, I don't think, just because he lets you get in behind him and then trusts himself to make that up. And sometimes that risk, he can't follow through on it. So two plays, he should have given up a touchdown on both of them. He was beaten, and he should have given a touchdown both situations, and they were bad throws by Deshaun Watson. And he ended up with a pass defense and an interception. So those numbers are a little bit deceiving, but he also made some really good plays throughout the game. And athletically, and even though he's not the biggest dude, I think I think his arms look pretty long. I think he plays pretty physical. I really liked a lot of the things that he offered in coverage.
Yeah, no, I think he's – I mean, if you ask me, I think he's the best coverage corner guy coming into 2017. Mm. He would be my top guy.
Yeah.
I know Pro Football Focus really loved him too. But that is an interesting note that you said, and we brought it up a little bit with Minkah Fitzpatrick and how guys play from behind. And if you remember when we talked about Fitzpatrick a couple days ago, Fitzpatrick, though he has the athleticism, you can just tell he's not as decisively comfortable when he's got his back to the ball. Mm-hmm. Alexander feels like he is so comfortable with it that, like you said, he almost wants you to do that because he wants you to think, oh, I've got the cornerback's back. I can beat him over the top, and a lot of times just because he is so good at that, he'll make you pay. But it is aggressive corners have a nature about them where you're taking a little bit of a risk wherever it is. You know, when you see a guy who has the interceptions that he does, and he's playing in a lockdown role, it's usually because there are also other times where he'll get beaten and little things like that. So it's you don't want to coach the aggressiveness out of him, right?
Mm-hmm. Right,
like he wouldn't get the takeovers if he didn't have the mindset of I'm going to bait this guy a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're right. In the NFL, he'll pay for it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so he won't really be able to have that mindset. So really, I think we've got to see a little bit better, more of a blanket coverage from him, because
especially at the line of scrimmage, I think. Like,
yeah,
he will get beat off the line of scrimmage and like not really like some guys. Kevin King got beat off the line of scrimmage because his press technique was like really sloppy. He'd stab with the wrong hand, or he'd open his feet way too quickly, and he'd get crossed up. And you know, he just had all kinds of technical issues. Alexander's was more like he just kind of lets you in behind him, watches the quarterback, right, baits it. You know, but it's, and he still does man turns. Like, he's in man coverage a lot of the time.
Yep.
Actually thought that, as good as I think he can be a good man coverage corner, I think there's some things he needs to be a little bit more attentive to. I think at the line of scrimmage, he needs to improve some things. Is he going to be strong enough, big enough? He's listed 5'10 and a half on NFL Draft Scout, 192 pounds. Is he going to be strong enough, big enough on the outside? I think he is physical as his mindset.
I think he is too, yeah.
But that press stuff is what teams are going to – can you play press man? Can you roll up? Can you handle number one wide receivers on the outside? Even if he goes to the inside, for me, he doesn't really necessarily lose much value. I mean, you're still playing against really good receivers. Julio, AB, those guys all get flexed inside. If you can match up with them in there, you know, yeah, I don't have any real issue with that. So I'm not – some people will knock him for that. But for me, if Jair can clean up those things, I think it's critical. But, man, he's enticing to play in zone coverage. I know those corners aren't quite as valuable to NFL teams, but he has the pressability. And I really, man, he made a play against Virginia that was phenomenal. And he, like, sank under the route, acted like he was kind of coming out to cover the flat, then sank really quickly and was, like, almost in the receiver's lap and leapt and made an interception. It was a really fantastic, just a read and an instinctive play. And, again, baiting a quarterback into a bad throw and having the recovery speed to be able to sink like that, rise up and intercept the ball. He does some impressive things in zone where I think he could be really good and a really good bulk if he goes to a team like that, especially because I don't think he's a liability against the run. He's not the biggest
dude,
but I
think
he's aggressive.
I don't think
stick
so
his nose, and I like those things about him. I think as a zone corner, he could do some damage in the NFL as well.
Yeah, mentality is such a big deal with the cornerback position. Mm-hmm. And it's like he wants you to throw the ball to him because he knows he's got a better chance than the other guy to go get it. And I think he's got to be a little bit more comfortable with the compliment of, hey, if I don't get the ball thrown towards me, that means I did my job right. I think he's got to be a little bit more comfortable with that mindset and be able to cover – better that way, because you know if that's not an NFL mindset. That is a great college mindset for you to rack up the stats and obviously have a great highlight reel, which Jair Alexander has a great highlight reel with him. But when you get in the NFL, baiting a quarterback to pass on you, you will die on the outside. You will get cooked so quick because it's too fast of a game. And I think Jair Alexander is a good athlete. I don't know how fast he is. That's something that, like, if he
I think
was
he's like a
4.4
guy,
away with it.
Like a mid 4.4s.
I think he's a higher 4.4 guy.
He
but,
might be higher. Yeah, that's fair. Somewhere in that range, though. I don't think he's a 4.3 guy.
No, I don't think so
which
either.
Which is fine, you know. Like,
which it's totally fine. But again, like, Alexander would be plenty good if he just has that mindset of, hey, I can't let him get behind me. Like, I have to play better coverage at all times. Because then, of course, 4.4 is plenty fast. Right. If you do that, and you're good enough at what you do.
If you're a 4.4 guy, you can't let the 4.3 guys beat you off the line of scrimmage.
Sure, right. That's,
like, Deshaun Jackson's not going to give up that ground down the field. Like,
and there's a lot more of them in the NFL. So a ton to like in not only his ability to play man, but also his instincts and where he has his eyes in zone, too. So I truly think that he is the best cover corner. I know I'm giving away my ranking a little bit here, but I think he's the best cover corner in the class.
He's really impressive on tape, and I think, scheme diversity. I think you're going to be able to play him on the inside in the NFL. Like I said, I don't think he's perfect on the outside or anything like that, but I like a lot, like exactly what you were saying. I know the size and the strength and the conversion may be an issue if he doesn't necessarily get better at the line of scrimmage, because I think that might be his one weakness right now in college. But his abilities down the field, he's smooth, man. His transitions, he can get in,
like,
your hip pocket and stay there.
Vernon Hargraves went 11th, right? He got picked 11th overall.
Was it 11? Yeah, somewhere in the 10s.
I mean, I don't really know how much. I see a lot of Vernon Hargreaves and Alexander, and I don't really know.
Oh, yeah. I think he'll go high.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like that. If we're talking about draft position, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you looked at Hargreaves and what he did well and the things we said about him, I think they'd be very similar to what you say about Alexander. And if Hargreaves went 11, that's got to be kind of the same range, you know, top 15 for Alexander. So
size would be the only, size would be the only reason I think Alexander would fall, which is possible because teams that we've seen that happen, but it didn't happen with Hargreaves. And so, I think he's got a pretty good shot of going high if he stays healthy, you know. And
speaking of size, let's get on to the next guy.
Oh, my goodness, man. Adonis Alexander has some of the most insane hops. And I just saw right before we went to record, you actually posted the one play that really brought it out to me, although I saw he had like a 41-inch vertical at Virginia Tech. And that was, I think, before his freshman year or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if that's improved. But he has insane hops. And you posted a play on Twitter where you can see that from several angles. On an interception he had against, who was it? Louisville? It was Louisville, wasn't it?
NC State. That's NC because State, it was Jacoby Brissett.
Right. And yeah, man, he got up and like snagged the ball, and he had some hang
also,
time to spare.
Also got like both feet and mouth too. That's the thing too. Like the body control, the explosiveness, but like the body control. And let me tell you, we talk about attitude with cornerbacks, a little bit of arrogance, and you have your all chirp team that you love to do at the end of the year going into the draft. Like both of these guys could very well be good candidates to make that all chirp team. There was another play that I put on Twitter right before it where I think he's playing Tulane in their bowl game a couple years ago, and I was watching some of the highlights from that game. And Alexander, like the ball comes to the guy he's covering, but the ball is like over his head. Alexander takes him to the ground anyways. And like the guy kind of almost is like, hey, why'd he take me to the ground? And like goes to get back up. And Adonis just like shoves him back on the ground and then just starts to walk away. It's don't get up to me, like kind of a thing.
I love
that was great.
He's listed 6'2.5", 195 pounds on NFL Draft Scout. Don't know how accurate it is. I mean, he's definitely tall. He's 6'2 or 6'3, no question. Love the length. He's fluid. Technically, I think things can get better, some of his transitions, line of scrimmage. But as a raw package, I'm curious to see what he runs. I don't know if I even really have a prediction right now. I think he played some safety early on at Virginia Tech.
He plays. There are a couple plays where he's almost doing like a single high thing where he's coming over to pick a ball off or whatever. But we talked about this with McFadden because McFadden is so lengthy too. When you have length and athleticism – and people wonder why, okay, you know, the average corner size in the NFL is about 5'11", like 195, 200 pounds. Like that's the average cornerback size. So there are plenty of cornerbacks in the league who are that size. And they wonder why it's such a big deal when they're taller or when they have athleticism and they're taller. And the reason why is because, you know, you just watch McFadden's tape and you watch a guy like Alexander's tape. And even if a ball is thrown well, like thrown well against any other kind of corner, if you can jump that high and your arms and body can like stretch that long, the windows that these quarterbacks have become so incredibly small. So if Adonis Alexander really gets into just his technique and more importantly his positioning – of where he needs to position himself with certain routes and certain receivers, he can make a window so freaking small for a quarterback that it's almost like it's that blanket coverage where the ball doesn't even get thrown to you, you know, because there's just nowhere to throw. And that's such an alluring thing about Adonis Alexander, and especially when you see him be able to jump as high as he is there, you know, like put him on a 10-yard line, put him in the red zone, talk about a wide receiver going up against a fade route against him, and it's basically like either you put the ball exactly where it could possibly be or it's not getting completed against a guy with his size and athleticism. So that's why it's coveted. That's why he is such a such an eye-popping prospect, because I think he is going to blow up the combine with athleticism and his size, which is going to be really exciting.
Right. He's got to dial back a little bit at times, but man, you're right. If Kevin King got that hype, and I think Alexander can get bigger and stronger, same as King, but Kevin King got that hype. Alexander's got more experience. I think he's a little bit more refined. And I thought Kevin King, you know, was a worse prospect than everybody else did. I think the NFL is going to love Adonis Alexander because I think he's going to light up the combine. The one thing I want to see, and I need to see more tape of him, to have like kind of a feel for. I didn't really get a great feel for him yet on tape, and I probably need to check out some All-22, which I haven't yet. I didn't get a great feel from him on tape as to how fast he is, you know, just pure speed, because that's going to matter to teams. What, Kevin King ran a, was he a 4.4 or something like that?
4.43 is what 4.43,
yeah. So, I mean, and along with jumping like out of the gym and stuff. So we know Alexander's going to, he's going to have best vertical. I mean, I don't, dude, his vertical's insane. I can't, you know, and he's a junior.
It's going to be good.
I think he's going to come out early. I think he's going to be.
He should. He's going to get, as long as he's not getting cooked, like you said, as long as he can really almost just put up the same kind of tape. Even if you put up the same kind of tape we've been seeing the last 2 years, they're going to project him as a first, second round pick, you know, early second, late first, who knows. And then if he improves how he plays, if he gets a lot more locked down, a lot more technically sound, and just his positioning gets a lot better. He knows how to use his body and his athleticism better. You know, we're talking about a for sure first round grade, probably from the NFL Draft Advisory Board. And if that's what you get, you go. If you're a first round pick, you go. So I think that he is going to, because especially from a position with his height that he would have such an advantage, he's going to be coveted.
He had a teammate, Brandon Fashion. I don't know if I'm saying his last name right or not, but who was all the buzz a couple of years ago. And then seems like that's kind of died off for him a little bit. And in his place, Adonis has kind of risen up. But yeah, I've been very, I was really impressed with what I did see him. And more than anything, I want to see more of Alexander. I think he's active all over the field. You know, again, I think as a tackler, he can improve. He can dial down a little bit, come to balance a little bit better. You know, same with his technique and his aggressiveness to the line of scrimmage. But traits are just through the roof. So excited about both the Alexanders. Tomorrow we're talking, what, Alabama corners, right? Everett and Tony Brown.
Yep.
We've got Jonah Tolles, who just got hired to be my colleague. Again, we've bounced around a couple different spots together over at ndtscouting.com. He's the latest guy there, and he has a really nice breakdown on the cornerback class over at draftbreakdown.com. If you guys want to check that out beforehand, if I remember, I may throw something up tomorrow night for you guys to send some questions Jonah's way. But we're going to have plenty of questions for him, too, on the 2018 NFL cornerback class. Jonah scouts corners like crazy. I think we had him on early. I can't even remember now, but I'm pretty sure we had him on during we had him on before the 2017 draft actually occurred to talk about that class, and we'll have him on to talk about this class. He loves McFadden from Florida State, like loves him. And so he was a little put off by our criticisms of McFadden. So I think we'll hear some retorts that line. Could be a heated one on Thursday. I'm ready for it. So we'll be back tomorrow talking more corners, and then again throughout the rest of the week before we wrap things up with Fan Friday. As always, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.